Welcome to CWS Christian Writing and Speaking. I'm your host, Jackie Wilson, and today's guest is a licensed pastor and trained in leading inductive Bible study through Precept Ministries. She regularly writes, speaks, and teaches on knowing and living by God's promises. She is the author of two Bible studies, host of the weekly Steady On podcast, and creator of the Step-by-Step Bible Study Method. Let's welcome to the CWS stage, Miss Angie Ballman.
Thank you, Jackie, for asking me to be here. I'm delighted to have this conversation with you today.
Yes, Angie. And of course, I'm excited to hear your story because as you put out there, you've gone through a lot of hardships. But in all of that, you maintain your faith. And not only have you maintained your faith, you're helping other people step by step get through the process so that they can not only maintain their faith, but like what we call live empowered in their faith. Can you share with the audience your story?
Yeah. So about 12 years ago now, my family of four was in a head-on car crash. Oh, wow. And it was Father's Day. It was Sunday afternoon, beautiful sunny day, and a man fell asleep in his car and crossed the center line and hit us head on. And my older son was six at the time, and he and I were the ones who had the most severe injuries. He was airlifted and taken to a children's hospital, and I was taken to a different hospital. And we had eight surgeries between us over the next little bit. We had multiple days in the hospital, I had 9 months of recovery, outpatient, physical therapy, and all of that went on. And so it was a very long road. It was a very long road. But one of the things that happened right away was that everything that I was doing in my life stopped. I did not take care of myself. I did not take care of my children. We also had a 7-month-old baby at the time. Wow. I was a pastor of a church. I could not work and serve that church congregation. I did not take care of my home. And when I say I didn't take care of myself, like I didn't bathe myself. I didn't move from the bed to the wheelchair by myself. Like I couldn't do, I was completely dependent, not only for myself, but for everything else that I had been taking care of. And I entered into this season of understanding how much I had depended upon works to make me acceptable to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that we ever can depend. That's not what we ever need to do, but I was counting on, or I was trying to earn like acceptability or prove my worth to God, to others in relationship by doing things. And after that car crash, when it all sort of just came, all those plates that I had spinning, if you will, right? All those balls I tried to keep in the air, and they all came tumbling down. And I was left with this really difficult question of, if I can't do anything, am I worth anything? Mm. And the Lord began to really work on my heart and invite me to look into my past at where the behavior, the lies that I was believing that was generating that behavior, if you will, that need for productivity, right? And when I was 16 years old, I was groomed and seduced into a romantic relationship with one of my high school teachers. Mm. The relationship lasted about 9 months. He was 39. He was married. He had a child just a couple years younger than I was. And what I've learned, Jackie, is that a groomer, a predator even, doesn't just groom his victims. And I say his and her as the victim, because that was my role, but it doesn't only have to be him and her, but it can be her and him. But that was my experience. But he doesn't just groom his victim. He grooms the community in which he's involved, which is what helps people turn a blind eye, mm-hmm. because I was for sure not the first one that this had happened to. But when the relationship became public, and it became very public, the police were involved, the Department of Children and Family Services was involved, it was in the newspapers, it was on the news, it was that kind of situation, right? That small rural community of about 1,400 people did not believe me. They believed him because he came out very vocally in that I was making this up and it wasn't true and we were only friends and he was trying to help me and kind of some of those things that a very charismatic, well-loved teacher in that community, long-standing teacher in that community would say, right? And I was really as alone as a person can be. My family did not talk about it. I do believe they were doing maybe the best they could, but my father was a pastor in that community. And I don't know, I won't try to say what people were thinking, right? I don't know what people were thinking, but what I felt like by everyone's silence and people's silence and vocal display of the fact that I was a liar, that I was a homewrecker, that I was just trying to cause trouble, all those messages that I received at that very sort of impressionable time in my life. I graduated from high school and went to college. My family never spoke about it. I didn't have people in my church family anymore. An abuser isolates his victim. And so I had given up most of my friends in order to have more time with him, you know, as that happens. And so I was very, very much alone. And I felt very much like it was my fault and that my life could not be what it was destined to be prior to this mistake, if you will, right? Like I couldn't still fulfill the call of God on my life. And I did not give up on God or on my faith or turn my back on that. But I did very much feel like I was unworthy of being able to be in relationship with him unless I proved myself. And I wouldn't have been able to articulate it, Jackie, at the time, right? I would not have been able to say, oh, this is what I'm doing. I'm trying because I did this horrible thing. Now I'm trying to earn my keep here, like in this kingdom work, if you will, you know. But that's very much what I was trying to do. And I realize that now. And the tricky thing when we believe the lies of the enemy is there's just enough half-truth in it to keep us going, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and so the work that I did was for the Lord. I was in ministry. Like that was my job and it was my life. And I very much wanted to serve him. And I was a Bible teacher and all those things. And there was a lot of good fruit that came out of that season of my life, but I was also exhausted inside because I could never work enough to satisfy myself that I was worthy of any kind of love or grace from him. And so that accident, that car crash, when I was so broken physically, the Lord really invited me to begin to look at the brokenness from so long earlier, right? And invite me to believe what he said was true about himself and about me as his daughter.
Ooh, that's a lot. It's a lot to just hear, to unravel. And I think there are a lot of people out there that feel the same way. They feel alone.
Yeah.
They feel like they no longer matter. And it's sad because you were in fact the victim. And there's a lot of victim shaming. And I've come to find out that when people are victim shaming, it's just because they really don't know how to deal with the truth.
Yes.
They don't know how to understand it. They're questioning how it could happen. I think they question who they are as people. How could I trust someone like this?
Yeah.
And so it's threatening to them because it makes them take a closer look at themselves. And a lot of times we don't want to look at ourselves, but if we're going to have that intimate relationship with God, you have to embrace all of the experiences that you have to talk to God about it. Have that honest conversation. I tell people all the time, I am a 4 a.m. person. God wakes me up in the morning. We have our morning talks every morning. And that is a part of my life that is so important because it really allows me to process what is going on. And I just say to anybody out there who has experienced anything similar to what Angie has experienced, you are not alone and you definitely are worthy. God can still use you for ministry work, whatever the call he has on your life, he can still use you. I mean, here we are as examples. He can continue using us.
Amen.
No matter what we have gone through.
Right.
So now you're not only sharing your story, but you've written books and you're helping other people get through these painful experiences so that they do know that they are worthy, that God has more for them to do. Can you share with us exactly what it is that you're doing?
Yeah. So I taught precept, as you mentioned earlier. I've taught precept for a long time. I was a student and a teacher of precept for 20 years, a student first and then a teacher. And I loved teaching precept Bible studies. I don't know if you're familiar with those or not. They're inductive Bible studies and they're pretty kind of intense a little bit. You know, there's a big time commitment. And one of the things that I heard over and over again, Jackie, was that people would love to take my classes, but they simply didn't have the time. Mm. And so I developed this Bible study method called Step by Step, which is an inductive kind of Bible study. But we look at one verse of scripture and then we study one word in that verse of scripture in order to find life application. And we identify the lie of the enemy as we're studying, and we look for the promise of God as we're studying. And the reason that I do that is because I can tell my story, and a lot of people have blessed me by telling me pieces of their story as well. Mm-hmm. I'm not a counselor and I can't fix that. I can listen, but I can't fix that. But I'll tell you what has fixed and redeemed my story. Yeah. And that is getting into the Word of God and knowing who He is through His Word. And so I can't fix whatever people bring me, but I can fix whatever people bring me if I can help them get into the Word and connect with the fixer, right? Yeah. And so my motivation really was because it's the Word of God that's brought me healing. And I'm still healing. So I will not say I've arrived, but that's the place that I go when those ugly old feelings, you know, rise up, or when I start to believe the lies, those old lies that are so easy for me to slip back into and believe. It is by connecting with Him. And as you said, daily connecting with Him through His Word that helps me walk in freedom. And so I created the Bible study method. And we use it. It links to my podcast, and we do a Bible study. I have a group of about 18 women who study with me on Tuesday nights on my Facebook Live, and we do a live Bible study of a verse of the week. And I just do that to keep trying to put that information out. And like, this is who God is. This is who God is. You are not alone. He loves you unconditionally. He calls you. You are His masterpiece. You have a purpose, right? You know, those kind of things. That's what He says. That's what's in there. And will we believe it? Will we live like it's true? Or will we try to either incorporate other things that provide more certainty, if you will, the world tells us provides more certainty, and try to do it on our own or our own way?
Yeah, we definitely have to depend upon God to understand and then know the deepest needs that we have. I tell people all the time, and I just happen to be a Christian mental health coach as well, that you got to tell God what it is that you want. If you want healing, or whatever other need you have in your life, in this particular case, healing, tell God what you want and then allow Him to manifest that in your life. And He will definitely manifest it through His Word if you will trust Him. And it's not an easy process. But like you said, step by step, you can walk into this and you look back a year later and you'll be like, oh my, I can't believe I've come this far. So the hope is there. It's just a matter of people taking that risk. But really, anything with God, I don't even look at it as a risk, because whatever He's giving you is going to be so much better than what you have. It's like the illustration. You have in front of you, you have this really small gift box in your hand, but behind the back is a really large gift box. And if you are willing to give up what is in front of you to grab a hold to what He has waiting for you, I mean, my God, what will happen to your life?
Right. And another thing that I think too, that studying the Word regularly does for us, is it helps us pay more attention to where He is showing up with those promises and where they are true. Because for a lot of us, myself included, I think His promises or His faithfulness is going to look like this, right? Mm-hmm. But actually it looks like something different. And so I'm missing it, because if it's not like this, then I'm like, well, where are you? And He's like, oh no, I'm working. I want to help you open your eyes so that you can see how I'm working in your life and in your story. It's just not the way that you maybe expected or hoped or wanted, but it is the way that's best. And so can we trust that? Can we trust, like, He is working? If I don't see that, it's just because I don't see it yet, because He is working. And will I trust Him to reveal Himself and know that wherever He's working, whatever He's doing, it is what's best for us?
Yeah. And I've been in a situation where God has said, I'm working, and I've just prayed and asked, can you show me, just reveal to me? It can be just a tiny glimpse.
Yes.
You know, just to know, to have that assurance and be able to say, I see you working, God. Yeah. And He will show you those tiny glimpses in the most amazing ways. And you're going to be like, whoa.
Yes.
I'm blowing.
Yes. Which gives us enough that we keep taking a step forward, right? Yeah, it just, absolutely. And He wants to do that for us. He wants to provide that encouragement or that reminder that his presence is not far away ever.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Angie, tell us what is next for you. You're already doing so many wonderful works, but what is next?
I'm really excited that after the first of the year, I'm moving to 2 podcast episodes a week.
Okay.
I'm just starting to work on that as we're recording this, because every podcast on Wednesdays, there's a Bible verse connected to it. That's the one we study on Tuesday nights. And I put a study sheet in my weekly newsletter and all that kind of stuff. But I'm going to start on Mondays every week doing a little solo episode to teach that Bible verse before the interview on Wednesday drops with my guest. And so I'm excited about that. To go to 2 episodes a week is maybe a little ambitious, but it's the call that I feel on my life right now. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, that is exciting. And I'm sure those who are following you already will be excited about it as well. But let's let other people know, get them connected with you. How can people connect with you?
Yeah, so the website is a great central hub. It's livestudyon.com. And there you'll find the Bible studies that I've written and the podcast episodes and all kinds of good stuff is there. That's where you can sign up for my newsletter and all of that. The podcast, if you're interested, drops on Wednesdays and it's called Steady On.
Yeah, I love it, Angie. Now, Angie, we're about to end today's interview, but I would love for you to give people a final word. If not, they take nothing else from this episode, what is the one thing that you want them to connect with and implement into their life?
Make time to spend with the Lord. Whatever that means, look at your calendar. It's going to take some rearranging if you're not doing it right now, or if you know you're doing it, but a little bit more would be better, right? Yeah. If you have to get up a little earlier, if you have to say no to a lunch date once a week, I don't know what it's going to take. It probably will take some kind of sacrifice, but it will change your life.
Yeah.
Find a study that you can do. I'd love for you to join me, but find something, right? Find a study you can do, or a devotional that's speaking to you, a podcast that ministers to you. Get into the Word on your own and just read it, but spend time with Him. There's no substitute for it.
Yeah, I love it. CWS audience, you know how I am about my challenges. And she has issued the challenge. We have been talking about this in other episodes as well. Making the time. I don't care if it's a minute a day, 5 minutes a day, but just pause and talk to the Lord and allow Him to talk to you. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. And until next time, beautiful people, God bless.